From the home of the Packers, a look at the game through the player's eyes. This is Inside Lambeau.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Inside Lambeau. I'm your host, Rod Burks. I am kicking it casual today, joined by the big fullback, John Kuhn. See, it seems to follow you everywhere. Of course, the Green Bay Packers coming off a big win over the Saints by 1 point. It's always a better week when you guys win. How did you guys pull that thing out?
Yeah, it definitely is. I mean, we went out there, we battled with them. Their backs were to the walls, so was ours. I mean, neither team wanted to be in a losing record after four games, so we had to scratch and claw, get to 2-2, and thankfully we did.
Some people say that was a must-win because the last thing you guys want to do is go 1-3. Was that a must-win for you guys here at home?
I think so. More importantly, to bounce back from the loss in Seattle, we needed to show everybody that, you know, we are for real. We've had a couple stumbles here in the first four games, but it's all right. I mean, we can go 2-2, and we can turn this around.
All right, the good thing about it is the offense was clicking. You like it when the offense was clicking. Guys put some points on the board. They were getting some first downs. I think he had 30 first downs. Let's talk about how the offense was moving.
Well, we templated them a little bit. We got in our regular down and distance, tried to run at them some, and then once we got the chains moving, we switched into our no huddle, got the ball moving, ball to our playmakers out on the perimeter, and just, like you said, moved the chains.
It's good to get that passing game, getting those receivers, get those receivers going. How important does that do to open up that running game?
Well, it's big time. It's a two-way street. You know, the more we run, the more it's going to open up the lanes for the passers, and the more they catch the deep balls, the more it's going to open it up for myself and Cedric Benson.
Yeah, how about Mike McCarthy? Another trick play on special teams. You're running out, and they say, hey, John, it's your call. If you like what you see out there, go ahead and call it. Take us what it's like when you're running on the sideline. You got the play just going crazy. You have the knowledge to go ahead and call the fake punt if you want. Take us in on the field and put us there.
Well, you know, like you said, Coach McCarthy's the new Mad Hatter drawing up things every weekend.
Mad Hatter. I love that. Yeah. I like that.
So, he gives us the opportunity to go out there and make plays, and that's what we love about him as a coach. He has that faith and trust in us that we're not going to make the wrong check, that we're not going to do the wrong thing, and we're going to be able to execute when time comes.
So then what did you see when you go out there? What made you say, I'm going to call the fake punt?
Well, we scouted their punt team a lot. We knew that they had the big guy on the nose. We were going to try and double-team him. They had six guys in the box. We had seven to block him. We just tried to double-team the big guy and create a wedge to get, you know, what we needed.
And the last thing you want to do is fumble that ball. How much pressure is on you? Because the ball's getting hiked to you. He's like, not only do I have to hold on to the ball, I got to get the first down.
Well, that's the number one key to a fake punt. You got to catch the ball. So Brett made a good snap. It was pretty easy.
Yeah, but what about Mike McCarthy? You guys are in your own backyard, and you go ahead and pull off this fake punt. I mean, don't you like a coach that likes to take chances like that?
Yeah, you know, it just shows you the gumption that he has in us. You know, he just knows that we're going to go out there, we're going to execute the same with the 4th and 26 that he did against the Chicago Bears. So it just shows that he has faith in us, and we're very happy with that.
And how about your life? I mean, you have an awesome, incredible story. You got cut by the Pittsburgh Steelers three times. A lot of people don't know. He's got two rings. He's got one on the practice squad with the Steelers. How did you get to where you are right here today?
You know, it's just, you know, listen to people the whole time. Don't give up. You know, put your best foot forward, hard work, determination. And it really does. It comes around. Some guys don't come into the league with the skills that they, you know, develop over several years. And I just feel like I'm the guy who grew into the person that I am today.
Yeah, but you were at Shippensburg. You weren't even invited to the NFL Combine. You said, hey, listen, what we're going to do, we're going to have a pro day for this guy. But mm-hmm. Guess what? Nobody showed up at your pro day. So you're out there running 40-yard dashes by yourself. I mean, you're like, well, guess I better start looking at another gig.
Yeah, you know, it's unfortunate, but you keep the faith alive, you keep positive, and you just keep kicking. You know, one day I got a call, came in there, put my best foot forward, and, you know, even though you get cut, you got to stay positive because those things can happen. You hear about guys all the time, free agent guys that get cut, they come back, they make it happen, and, you know, thankfully that's what happened to me.
What made you think that you always were going to be able to play in this league when everybody else said that you weren't?
You know, it's just the way my parents raised me. And, you know, I kind of took the hard road going up. I never went to a Division I school. I went to a Division II school. We feel like at Division II, you got to work a little harder because you don't get full scholarship. You got to work in the classroom. I just feel it's the way that I grew up that made me never give up.
And, folks, we're going to have more with John Kuhn. I bet you didn't know this. He was a chemistry major at Shippensburg, which means he's a smart fullback. More with John Kuhn coming up right after the break.
Some time, looking around, shovels it to Kuhn on the right side of the 25, bowling balls his way to the 30, and is covered up right there at the 30-yard line. The Packers fans, and there are plenty of them here in the Dome, they're shouting, Kuhn, Kuhn.
And welcome back to Inside Lambeau. I'm your host alongside the big, huge fullback in John Kuhn.
Never fails.
never fails. Where did this chant come from? Where did it start?
You know, I heard grumblings back in college and maybe a little bit in Pittsburgh, but it really took off here with the faithful fans of Green Bay, and they took it to the next level. They really bellow it out, and it's awesome.
Hey, I heard Mike McCarthy thought that they were booing you, and actually they were saying coon. That's got to be an incredible feeling when you're out there and they're shouting your name. Like, nobody else is getting shouted out like that.
Yeah.
Shout out like that.
Yeah, you know, it's awesome. And it's extended even from the playing field now. I've gotten it at the grocery store. I've gotten it at Best Buy. So it's a lot of fun. I enjoy it.
Wait a minute. You're going through the grocery store pushing a cart with your lovely wife and you hear this, coon. Like, what do you say? You sign an autograph? What do you do?
You just, you know, you say hi. You tell them thanks. And you got to appreciate the fans in Green Bay. You know, they come at you. They let you know they're supportive, and we love it.
Hey, and what makes this guy so special is that he's a big-time fullback, and Aaron Rodgers says you may know the playbook more than him. One of the reasons why is you took chemistry in college. How did a football player take chemistry at Shippensburg?
You know, it's just a crazy situation. I just tested out. You know, I did well on my SATs in math and science, and when I came into Shippensburg, they made the athletes, you know, pick their classes first. You had to pick a major, and I just, you know, I figured I'd give chemistry a try, and I did well with it, so I stuck with it.
And you did some pretty big internships and did really well. If this football thing didn't work out, there was a backup for you, right? Johnson & Johnson?
Yeah, I was with Johnson & Johnson, Department of Environmental Protection, for a couple summers, so, you know, worked in the lab, just did some of the work with the instruments and whatnot, so that was a lot of fun.
Hey, but you much rather earn money on the football field. Do you like catching the football or do you like running the football?
It's tough. I'd probably like running the football better.
Okay. Hey, big game for you. You scored 3 touchdowns in a game against the Giants. Take us through that game and how it's like, you know, I have arrived.
Yeah, you know, that was a great game. It was a must-win for us that year. Our backs were to the wall. We couldn't lose any more games to get into the playoffs. Started it off hot with this little 8-yard run right here up the middle. And about that point in time, I felt like we were rolling. I felt like I was rolling. And the pieces of the puzzle just kind of fell together. Defense had 6 turnovers that game, I believe. I got down near the end zone a couple other times. Aaron found me wide open for one more, and then, you know, Mike just decided to feed me the ball for that last one.
I know. It's a great compliment when you have the quarterback that's really in your corner. He says you know the playbook just as well as he does, or maybe not more. How thick is this playbook, and how do you know it? I mean, I know you're a chemistry major. I know that. But to know all the plays and the way they run it here in Green Bay, I mean, you know it on the back of your hand.
Well, you know, it's a pretty extensive playbook. But what we've always said here in Green Bay is the more you know about the other positions on the field, the better you can be at your position, because you can run faster, you can play harder, and you can expect what your teammates are going to do.
The biggest hit that you've ever taken in an NFL game, who laid it, and how much did it hurt?
Well, I'm not exactly sure who laid it because I didn't see him all that well, but it was a linebacker from Atlanta, playoff game, as I scored my second touchdown.
And what happened?
He just caught me at the perfect spot. I had to take the rest of the game off. Thankfully, we were up by 28 points at that time, so it was okay.
Fullbacks aren't supposed to take time off. You know that, right?
I guess you can when you're up 28 points.
How about when it was time, it was free agent time, and the Packers decided to make a commitment to you, and as one of the, you know, one of the highest paid fullbacks, for all the work that you did, you had to be like, this team is really committed to me. It had to be a huge moment for you signing that contract.
You know, it meant a lot. It really did. And you know, I put a lot into the Green Bay organization coming in here every day, and I feel like I give them everything that I have. So for them to do the same for me, it really did. It meant a lot.
All right, he's John Coon. We're gonna have more with him coming up in the next segment. We're going to talk about what he likes to do off the football field. He says he's got a golf game. We're going to find out.
I don't have anybody go down.
Folks, if you didn't get enough of the pie in the face, we showed it to you 4 or 5 different times. Here's the culprit right here, John Coon. John, I was there that day. Where did you get this idea from? I mean, to get the NFL MVP right in the face with some shaving cream, because that took a lot.
Well, you know, Aaron is the classic jokester on our team. He's gotten everybody in that locker room, whether they admit it or not, and training camp is probably the worst time of year of all. So we figured to send off training camp in a good way this year, let's get Aaron.
Was it one of those things where, like, this guy is always – all the cameras are always around his locker room. You know, he's got to get his cologne on. He's got to make sure his hair is right. Did you just really want to just make a big splash? Because that made national news.
Well, I think that was the most important part, is we got to do it at a time when he is vulnerable, because Aaron always knows, you know, the more you give, the more, you know, you got to be able to take. So we wanted to catch him at a spot where he wasn't expecting it.
Now, you had some teamwork on this one, right? Now, who was helping you out, and how did you guys figure out that this was going to be what we were going to do to him?
Yeah, I had a couple specialists. I had Brett Good, the snapper, and Tim Maste, the punter. They were running decoys in the backfield, trying to keep Aaron's eyes away from me when I slid in the side.
Here's what I do know. He holds grudges. Did he not talk? I mean, did he? Was he upset with you?
I'll tell you, the rest of that day was a quiet day for the remainder of the day in the meeting rooms. But, you know, I've kept my head on a swivel since then, and I'm just waiting for that time to come.
He'll definitely get you back. I mean, obviously you love the game of football. What do you like to do outside? I know you got a big passion for golf. Do you really have a golf game, or can I just go out there right now and go ahead and beat you in nine holes?
Well, it depends on what you shoot. I mean, I'm golfing with my handicap.
Do you like it, and why?
Yeah, no, I enjoy golf. I really like the fact that it's a mental game. It's a concentration game. It's not just go out there and slam your head into the wall like football is. It's complete contrast, and it's fun to do something different like that.
Speaking of slamming into the wall or slamming the ball, what is up with these spikes? I mean, when you score a touchdown, you give it everything you got. Can we go ahead and roll this? Let's check out some of these touchdown spikes. I mean, you're almost throwing your shoulder out of joint with the spike. Look at that one right there is the one I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Why do you spike the footballs so hard?
Because it takes so much work and energy to get into the end zone. I want people to know I'm fired up. Oh, that was Jordy.
Yeah. He's picking up the John Kuhn way of doing things.
Yeah, it's contagious, you know. You send off a hard spike, the fans get fired up, we get fired up, other guys see it, they get fired up too. So that's the reason for the hard spike.
But Jordy's was, I give you guys both 10s. You say one thing, you said one of your heroes is your mom. Talk about your relationship with your mom and how it helped you get to where you are right now.
You know, like you said about those work ethic, where did it come from? It definitely came from my mom. She set me straight from a young age. She told me to keep my eye on the prize, and the harder I worked, you know, I would get, you know, what was coming to me. And it was only because of the things that she instilled in me that I was able to achieve what I have.
What was it like growing up for you, growing up as a young guy? And with your mom?
Yeah, you know, it was great. You know, my mom was a single mom for most of the time, and, you know, she took care of me and my sister. She did a heck of a job, and she made sure that school was first and football was second, but football was a very close second. She's an avid football fan, and I love her for that.
Did you ever think that you were going to be able to accumulate this kind of wealth and have a multi-year contract and be a fullback in the NFL where you could go out and help your mom out?
Well, I've always dreamed of it, and thankfully it came true.
He's John Kuhn. He was awesome today in Inside Lambeau. Coming up, we're going to have Bob McGinn of the Journal Sentinel. Folks, you don't want to miss it. John, thanks for hanging out with us this week.
Thanks for having me, man.
All right, buddy. And welcome back to Inside Lambeau. I'm your host, Rod Burks. We are joined by Bob McGinn of the Journal Sentinel. Folks, he outdressed me this week. The first thing I gotta tell you is he looks sharp. Nobody covers the NFL like this guy. Won the Dick McCann Memorial Award back in 2011 as one of the best football writers in the country. That had to be a huge moment for you. And I want to ask you, what did you do with the award?
It's down in the basement on the wall, Rod.
in the basement, it should be up in the living room.
And I got some stuff down in the basement. All right. Pat, my wife, put it down there.
All right, let's start talking Green Bay Packer football. What's the biggest surprise for you, them, after four games when you look at this football team?
They're 2-2. The fact that they're 500. I mean, they've lost a couple games, and this team won 13 in a row. They had won, 19 in a row last year? They got a lot of talent, and they're youthful. They got continuity on the coaching staff and the scouting staff, so they've had a bit of a rough start. They've lost two games.
Yeah, but Aaron Rodgers is not clicking like he used to. I mean, he looked great against the Saints, but let's go. The Saints defense isn't that great. Why is he not on his mark? Is it that the teams are playing him different with the cover two? I mean, what do you see in your eyes?
Teams study, you know. They study a team that goes 15-1. You know, I mean, they just get after it, and they got 4 or 5 months to examine what Green Bay did on offense. They faced three really good defenses. I mean, you look at Seattle and San Francisco, those are arguably two of the top three or four defenses in the NFC. The Bears have a pass rush, and then New Orleans is a poor defense. But, you know, they face tough competition.
Now let's talk about the offensive line settled down now. They haven't given up a sack in a while. It was pretty good because, you know, the game before the Saints, he was taking a big-time beating.
Yeah, of the 8 sacks in Seattle, I hit the offensive line up for 5.5 of them. Brian Bulaga had a rough game this week against New Orleans. Now, Rob, we're just talking about the caliber of opposition. New Orleans does not have a good pass rusher. Bunch of average guys, and Green Bay just swallowed them up.
And now, folks, if you don't read this, you're really missing it. It's called Rating the Packers. It comes out a couple days after the game. What goes into that? Because I know you put a lot of hard work. Do you go in, you look at the film, you're taking down notes. Take us inside your man cave when you're really when you're rating the Packers, because it's a must read.
Well, on home games, you know, I'm home and I can watch that tape. I can spend 8, 9, 10 hours with it, talk to a few people. We get to talk to the coordinators out here, and then write it at night till the 10:30 deadline. On road games, it's always a struggle to get back. I mean, we're taking the first flight back Monday morning. We're leaving the press box at 12 or 1. We're the Tom Silverstein, Tyler, myself, we're the last three to leave that press box. Catching that first flight back, and I might not get home till noon or 11 or 1, and so then I have less time with the tape.
Yeah, but this is something special. I mean, if I'm a Green Bay Packer and I have a couple fumbles and I had a bad game, and you come up to my locker, it's going to be a long afternoon. I mean, you put a lot of heart into this thing. What are you trying to get across when you write this?
I think the readers of our newspaper and the fans of this team are really knowledgeable, and they are into how the left guard played, and they want to know why the interception occurred, and they want to know who missed some tackles, and I get that, and that's why I've stayed on this beat. You know, it's you're writing for people who are into the game as much as I am, so yeah, I try to not make mistakes and try to be fair and try to be honest. If a guy plays good, I'll write it. If he plays poorly, you got to write that too.
You know who's been playing good is Cedric Benson. Are you surprised that he is playing the way he's playing? James Starks obviously trying to get along. Alex Green, he can't even get any snaps.
I am, Rod. I mean, he was on the street till mid-August. You know, a lot of backs were signed over Cedric Benson, and he looks good, and he's making people miss, and he's been tough. Maybe missing training camp has helped the guy. He's, you know, a 29-year-old back, and he doesn't have a lot of wear and tear this year.
And the fact that Ted Thompson went out and got a veteran like that and bought him, that's pretty surprising.
Rod, it's one of the best, you know, post-training camp start acquisitions the Packers have made in many, many years.
All right, he's Bob McGinn, and I'm Rod Burks. We're going to come back, and we're going to talk about the ultimate Super Bowl book. Bob is going to break it down. It's pretty thick, but it's a great read. See you back here after the break. The ultimate Super Bowl book, and the guy that wrote it is Bob McGinn right next to me. And folks, this guy outdressed me today. And I like that. I like that.
Has a writer ever outdressed a broadcaster?
No, never.
Let's talk about the ultimate Super Bowl book, second edition. What makes you come up with the idea that, hey, I think I want to write a Super Bowl book?
Because, Rod, all the Super Bowl books, and there's dozens, right? They're picture books. They're coffee table jobs. And the text is superfluous.
Yeah,
you got it.
That's kind of a big word, but for me, but I got you.
This is hardcore football. This is the X and O's. This is why these games were won. And hundreds of people helped me, the coaches, the assistant coaches, maybe the non-star starters. And they told me their stories and what happened. Every game there's a story, all 46 of them.
I just want to understand, I mean, because I just started reading about the Jets' big win over the Colts. I just started reading that. I started skimming through. You have little parts of every Super Bowl, you talk about them. And a lot of work goes in there. You got to do a lot of contacts. You got to do. I mean, how does a guy get all that when he doesn't even have a cell phone?
I got one now.
Oh, you got a cell phone?
I don't use it a whole lot, but I mean, it took 5 years, Rod. You know, I mean, I'm employed, so I'm working on a beat, and this was done in the summer, and just all these people shared their time and their expertise with me. You know, they were their highest moments of their career and their greatest depths of their career, and they told it all to me.
When you were writing all the Super Bowls, which one stands out to you that really, when you're writing, like, oh, this is going to be good, this is some good stuff I got here, what really got you?
You know, I treated every game as special. I can't really say, Rod. We can go to those Buffalo games, huh?
No, I don't want to talk about the Buffalo Bills losing 4 in a row. You were there, right?
You
How
bet.
How heartbreaking was it for you when you were in the stands and you had to write about this and they had lost their fourth Super Bowl in a row?
It was deja vu, wasn't it? I mean, over and over, Jim Kelly getting hammered, the defense of Walt Coyer struggling. So the Thurman Thomas helmet, they had problems. Yeah, they did.
And the wide right. They should have won the Giants game. The wide right, I mean, when you missed that field goal, they should have definitely won that game.
They didn't do real well on that 2 minute before the field goal. They should have been a lot closer.
But the one thing you got to have when you're a writer like you, a nationally known writer, is you got to have a great memory. And you got to have a great memory to write something like this.
True, and I also had access to a lot of tape, you know. So for the last 20 games, there was tape, and I could look at the entire game.
What?
And, you know, and then once you know what happened or think you know what happened, then when you go interview people, then the stuff comes out easier from them.
Did you hear what he said, folks? He watched tape of the Super Bowls. Now, look, how can people get this book, Bob? This is really important.
All right, a couple different ways, right? Rod, this is the second edition. It's hardcover, and it includes all 46 games. It's been out about 3 weeks. All right. They can get it at bookstores, your local bookstore. You can get it online, or you can get it by sending me an email, beamagain@jrn.com. I'll personalize it any way you want. My wife and I will take care of you through the mail.
Can you get that email one more time?
beamagain@jrn.com.
Oh, that's some good stuff. Bob McGinn likes to bring it. And one more thing, quick question, if we got time. Is Mike Neal going to be a player in 15 seconds?
He will be on that 53 within a week. Jarrell Worthy's not been a great pass rusher. He can help next to Raji in Diamond Nickel.
He's Bob McGinn. I'm Rod Birch. We're out of time and Inside Lambeau. We'll see you next week. We out. We'll